Blog Talk Radio.
All praise the magnificent name of the Lord. And welcome, everyone, to the First Fruits Worldwide Prayer and Praise Convention broadcast. And this is Ambassador Dr. Julie Hayden, and we are here to give the instructions. To mute your line, you must now press the number 6 and the star key. You will hear the appropriate announcement that says you're now muted or unmuted. If you have a question, press star 6 and the number 1, and the host will be with you immediately. A few things you want to avoid. Avoid coughing into your phone, clearing your throat by clearing your sinus. No sleeping, no snoring. You want to respect the time as one who attends a local church service or as one who's in the presence with dignity. Please be sure you do not use your speakerphone mode while participating in the live conference. Please be sure you do not open two phone lines close by each other, such as your cell phones, computer phones, Skype, Magic Jacks, etc. Please be sure you do not leave your loved ones alone in the room with the phone holding private conversations. It certainly will become public knowledge. We invite everyone to be a participant, and as you participate, bear in mind the basic core always apply. That is, always identify yourself. Give your name, area code, and city you're calling from. And remember, you have a maximum of 2 minutes to participate. We invite everyone to be a participant, and as you participate, bear in mind we are giving God all of the glory and the 2 minutes maximum. We want to thank all of you for joining us today. For those of you joining us from around the world by way of radio, remember to press 1 on your handset and you'll be able to participate as well. For those of you who are joining us by other devices, other than the radio, just simply follow the instructions of your device. A brief reminder, should you hear an announcement that says your line is now muted, or should you hear music, or should your conference automatically become locked, just simply dial out and redial back in again. And to God be the glory. We want to thank all of you for joining us, and welcome again to the First Fruits Worldwide Prayer and Praise Convention broadcast. And now, the man whom God has chosen for such a time as this, the man better known as the Billion Praise Man, the world's greatest gospel saxophonist, Pastor of Amazing Grace International, the founder, president, and CEO of the First Fruits Worldwide Prayer and Praise Convention, better known as the Billion Praise Convention, the man whom God has chosen for such a time as this to lead the world into billions of praise nightly on the Blog Talk Radio. And now, the Chief International Ambassador, Ambassador Dr. Bernard Johnson.
Did you say in a way?
Please stand by. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask one of the other ambassadors, could just take it for now till we hear our chief's voice. Thank you, audience. Please stand by. Ambassador Hodges or Ambassador Pfeiffer, are either of you here?
Ambassador Hodges is here.
Can barely hear you. Ambassador Hodges? Hello?
Hello, yes.
Yes, we could barely hear you. Can you hear us? Clearly, that is. If you could contact our chief, we're not hearing him. Thank you so much.
He is redialing in.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Come on, everybody. Let's just praise God until we hear his voice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you, Chief. In your hands.
God bless you.
to hear you all thanking the Lord. That's the way to do it, to give him praise and give him adoration. I want to pray just for a moment. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to you for your goodness and kindness and for this new day. Oh, God, you've been so wonderful, so marvelous, so ultra awesome. We just give you glory and adoration for what you've done. Thank you for being there when nobody else was there. You do so many ultra awesome things. Thank you for holding us up. Yeah, thank you for lifting every heavy burden and lightening every heavy load. I'm blessing people when they've been up and blessing people when they've been down. And Lord, let your Shekinah glory fall on the people today. And as they give you praise and adoration, God, receive it and bless them in a bountiful way. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Now we thank you for all that you've done again and again. Yes. Thank God. Amen and amen. And good morning to all of you. Are y'all? What's this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Good morning, Lord.
Thank you. Good morning, Lord.
Amen. I heard you all giving God praise. So,
hallelujah.
Thank the Lord for Jesus. We laid the foundation and thank the Lord for Jesus who opened us the way. I do thank God for all of you on the prayer line. Of course, we thank God for Master Lady Betty Johnson. Amen. For Mother Ellie Johnson, the mothers of the nation. All of you, all of our ambassadors, all of our ambassadors elect, all of you, to all of the bishops, the superintendents, pastors, elders, and friends. Yes, everybody. We do. Thank you for being with us. We know that people are busy nowadays, and you don't have to be there for you or anybody else. But
yes,
thank
Lord.
You for being there for the Lord. Amen. God is good. I've been talking to you all the last few days. The Lord told me to speak to you this week, and I have obeyed him. And in my spirit, I think the Lord has said to me he wants me to go another week. And I'll be speaking on next week. Those who have prayer requests, God said he's going to answer your request. He knows what they are. He knows all about you. He knows your down sittings and your uprisings. What does that mean? He knows when you sit down, and he knows when you get up. Yeah, if he knows all that, then he certainly knows about your life. I've been talking to you a few days. I talked about how to recognize the real voice of God. It's so important because you're making many, many strategic decisions, and you're making decisions. You need to make the right decisions. You don't need to make decisions that will make tragedy come into your life, or you make tragic mistakes. Knowing the real voice will help you even teach your children the right things. Could lead you to prosperity. Excuse me, it's kind of early here. And it could help you to get the right mate. It could keep you from getting sick by deciding how to eat the right things and going to see the right doctor. Amen. And getting on, if you need something, taking the right things to help you be healthy. Amen. God bless you. And then I spoke to you yesterday about take six steps and dance. I want to take up there the about taking six steps and dance. This is important. David gave us the ingredient to this because David had been through some struggles. And I want to speak to you who are going through some struggles right now. I want to speak to those who have been through the storm and been through the rain. You've had heartaches and pains. Yes, I'm talking to you. You may not look like
you've been through. In fact, you don't know. You may not look like what you've been through, but you've been through. You had some rough times, and perhaps you're going through something right now, and the enemy is trying his best to sift you as wheat. Peter had that same plight. Jesus said unto him, Satan wishes to sift
this
you.
This conference is being recorded.
Peter, Jesus said, he wishes to sift you as wheat. Satan does, Peter. But God said, Jesus said, I have prayed for you. Oh, my God. Isn't it something when he prays for you? Everything turns out all right. But here is David, who the Lord blessed, and everything turned out all right. But he went through trials, tribulations. He had this wonderful thought. That he would go down and get the Ark of the Covenant. Now, God told Moses, let me tell you about the Ark. How many of you wonder what it is, etc. God told Moses to make him an Ark of wood and place the Ten Commandments that God would write again inside the Ark. See, the Ten Commandments that we read, God wrote them twice. The first time he wrote them, he was on the mountaintop with Moses and the children of Israel, who God had brought out of Egypt, were down there below the mountain. And since Moses had taken so long to come back, the children of Israel, who he gave everything to, blessed them phenomenally. Every time they wanted something, he was there, doing it for them, blessing them, opening doors, and supplying their every need. They needed water. He made the rock give them water. They needed food. He sent them manna from heaven. And then they wanted meat. Food at first was bread, kind of like a light bread. And then they wanted meat, and he sent the quail, birds from the sea. Sent so many of them until they got tired of eating meat. So he was extremely good to them. He supplied everything they wanted, everything they needed. And then after all that, they turned, as soon as he turned his back, here they are trying to flirt with another devil. God wasn't the devil, but they were trying to flirt with the devil. They were committing spiritual adoultery. What do you mean, Dr. Johnson? They sought out another god. In other words, saying, you ain't enough for me. I'm going to seek out another god. And they went to Aaron and they took all the gold that they had been given by God, allowed him them to have it. And they took all the gold from Egypt that they borrowed and melted it down. And they shaped a golden image. It was like a golden calf. And they bowed down and worship this golden calf. After God had been so good to them, they didn't have common sense. they said, Lord, you up on the mountain, you ain't nowhere around. We're just going to go ahead and make us a god now. So they forsook God. Here David is. He had some struggles, but instead of having the kind of sense that takes you away from God, David says, I know better than that. God brought me through the storm. He brought me through the rain. He's been there for me every step of the way. And so I want to honor God. I'm going to go down to Abinadab's house, and I'm going to try my best to do something for the Lord. Yeah, yeah. Now, this is the first time that when Moses made the Ark of the Covenant, they somehow, when he discovered where it was at Abinadab's house. And so that's the first time. God wrote those Ten Commandments and told Moses to put those commandments in the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah. This is the second time he wrote them. The first time when the children of Israel were worshiping that idol God, Moses threw them down off the mountain and broke them into pieces. because he was so disturbed about them worshiping an idol god. The second time God wrote him, Moses was back on the mountain, God wrote him again. I guess he said, I want the ark to hold them now. I want you to build me this wooden ark, which will be around 2 feet, maybe 3 feet long and about 2 feet high, something like that. Put these Ten Commandments in there and call it the Ark. Yeah, I guess the Ark of the Covenant, because there's a covenant between man and me. Why was the Ark so important? Because the Ark of the Covenant, the contents were the Ten Commandments that God had written himself. And it was so important because the ark represented God. It represented God. Here, with his own finger, he had written these Ten Commandments the second time. First time I told you they threw them down the mountain. Moses threw them down the mountain and broke them. God wrote them again. Put them in the ark for safekeeping. And here it represented God himself. So David gets a good idea. I'm going to go down and get the ark, because everywhere the ark is, blessings are happening everywhere. Well, imagine so. If you get God in your house, you will have blessings happening everywhere. And that's what the ark was. Abinadab got God in his house. He had the ark there at his home. And blessings start happening everywhere. So David said, I want to go down and get the ark and bring it back to the holy city, Jerusalem. And so he took 30,000 men down there to get the ark. But he didn't know, he hadn't studied about the ark. He didn't know how to carry it. He had two strong oxen, and he put a brand new cart, you know, on their backs, a black cart to carry the ark on. And he hooked them together, and they're going to carry the ark back to Jerusalem. Well, even though he had 30,000 men, you know, that's a slow journey, because oxen couldn't run with the ark. They had to walk with the ark. Somehow, Abinadab said, I'm going to send my sons to help you carry the ark back. So he sent Uzzah, who stood behind the ark, and Ahio, who stood in front of the ark. And they were carrying the ark back to Jerusalem with David, and all of those 30,000 men. Help me, Jesus, here this morning. So they got to Nacon's threshing floor. Uh-huh. And somehow they would, I believe, thresh the wheat to this threshing floor. And the oxen may have hit a little, I don't know what had happened, but it stumbled. And the ark shook as if
your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, mm-hmm. press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To cancel.
Oxen began to trip a little bit and stumble, and Uzzah, who was behind the ark, put his hand on the ark to hold it. Now, this was like putting your hand on God. You know, I told you that the ark represented God himself. And immediately, Uzzah was smoked by God. What do you mean? He died right there by the ark. He fell down. I guess sickness or something came over him, and he died right there. Well, you don't put your hand. This is the answer to your question. Why do you die? He was trying to help, yeah, but you don't have enough unction. You don't think that you're so great that when God is shaking in this ark, that you're going to put your hand on it and steady the ark? No. This represented the King of Kings. This represented God, the creator of everything. And you don't do that. It was improper. Maybe I'm hitting on something here. You got to watch it with God. Don't do the improper thing. He wanted to steady the ark. God knows how to steady himself. He doesn't need you to try to hold him and keep him from falling. He's not going to fall. He created fall. He created the ups and downs. He created the earth. He hurled the sun into space and called the light day and the darkness night. Why do you think he needs you to put your hand on him to steady him? No. Be careful with God. I've got a point here in this message that tells you that. But he died right there. Now, I want to give you some principles that I got out of this text. This is about David in the 2 Samuel and 6 and 12 through 14. 2 Samuel 6, the 6th chapter, the 12th verse, the 14th verse. Sometime read it today when you get home. 2 Samuel 6 and 12 through 14. It tells you all about this. But I got some things out of this will help you. I looked at the text and began to exegete or look at it and ask God what the text meant and begin to go verse by verse. See, a lot of times you can't understand the Bible because you want to look at the verse and just read the verse, but you have to read the verse in context. What does that mean? You have to read the historicity of what the verse, where it came from many times, before the verse and after the verse to find out what is saying here. And so I did that, and I came up with these things that will help you in your life from the story I just told you about David. Didn't quite finish it, but I'll finish it as I give you these points. What will help me, Bernard? What will help me, Brother Johnson? This will help you from this lesson I just mentioned. First of all, learn to rejoice while you are going through. Learn to rejoice while you're going through. It'll get you a miracle. If you learn while you're going through the struggles, the trials, the tribulations, the tests, being bruised, being wounded, if you learn that I got to rejoice while I'm going through. What did David do? David was going through. You think he didn't go through even the things I'm talking about in this text here? He was going through. Because what happened is, first of all, he was going through bereavement. How do you figure that? Well, he went down to get the Ark of the Covenant, and the man's house where it was Abinadab's house at first. And Abinadab said, I'm going to send my sons with you to help you take it back. Mm-hmm. And what happened is that Uzzah, his son who was behind it, laid his hand on the ark, and he got killed. He died. So now David's going through because this man who trusted him with his son sent his son with him and all these soldiers. And all of a sudden, my friend's son gets killed on the way to take the ark back to Jerusalem. He was, you know, and his son, this man entrusted his son with me, and he's dead now. God, he got angry with the Lord, got afraid to take the ark back. Why? Because Abinadab's son, who he entrusted with David, now his son is dead. What am I going to say to this man? He sent his son to help me take the ark back. Now he's dead. So David was going through. I mean, how you feel? Put yourself there. You trying to do something for the Lord, and all of a sudden, one of your friends sends their son to help you, sends their daughter to help you. And while they're trying to help you, they get killed. What are you going to say? Are you going to go back to their house and say, I'm sorry. I know you sent your son with me, but he got killed. I mean, What happened? He put his hand on the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant. He's dead now. So David's going through. He's going through a trial, a tribulation. He's bruised inside. Wouldn't you be bruised if your friend sent their son with you and they got killed on the way with you? Wouldn't you be bruised? So he's going through a storm. But he said, what I've learned to do is rejoice while I'm going through. Well, how did he rejoice? Well, he took his men on back to Jerusalem and said, we can't get it now because of this death. I got to grieve a while. But then he also was trying to learn what happened. Why did he get killed when he was trying to carry the ark, when he was trying to do something for the Lord? And perhaps you know somebody who was trying to do something for the Lord, and somehow before you knew it, they were gone. Well, I'm praying for myself this morning. My mother said to me, "Son, you can't do everything." Amen. Some things that we try to do many times, they're good things, but we have to watch not overloading ourselves. I'm talking to somebody on this line here. Don't overload yourself. Amen. I listened to my mother, said, "Son, don't overload yourself. You can't do this, you can't do that. You got a lot on you. Don't overload yourself, because when you do, you're trying to do something wonderful. You don't want to end up deceased." Yeah. Let the Lord bless you, but don't overload yourself. Here David is, he basically didn't know how to carry the ark. So he studies how to carry it for 3 months, finds out what he did wrong. He goes back now. The ark, he had left it now on the way. They were bringing it back, but after Uzzah died, he dropped it off at Obed-Edom's house. This is the second time. He didn't try to get the ark one time. It was twice. He went back. He dropped it in Obed-Edom's house, and he's on his way back to Jerusalem now. He learned what to do. He says, the reason why Uzzah died is because we can't carry the ark like that on two oxen and on a new cart. Yeah, we can't do it. It's not to be done that way. There are two rings on top of the ark, and those golden rings are for poles to stick through, one on one side, one on the other side, four rings, actually, on the ark. So you stick the poles through the ark, through the holes on top, the rings on top of the ark, two on one side and two on the other side, and put these, a certain type of wood you use to carry them, and you let the men carry the ark on their shoulders with the rings going through the ark. You don't carry the ark on your shoulders, but you carry the poles on your shoulders so that the ark does not touch human hands. They never touch human. It never touches human hands. The rings in these poles are going through the rings on the ark, and they lifted it up and carried it that way. And he decides, since I've been through tragedy, since I've been through the storm, I'm going to learn to rejoice while I'm going through. So he says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take six steps. Here it comes. I'm going to take six steps. And after I take these six steps, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to dance. Yeah. He says, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to take six steps, and then we're going to praise the Lord. We're going to make a spiritual sacrifice. See, you got to learn that some things are so, they're more important to me than God, and then I'll come back and see what I have left over for the Lord. You see, your priorities are mixed up. You gotta learn how to handle, how to treat God. Yeah. Priorities are mixed up. God is the one who has a blessing waiting for you. But when you diss him, he chooses his blessings, and he closes his bowels of compassion, because you mistreated him. You didn't treat him right. You got to put God first, and a miracle may come to you if you put him first. God may stretch out his mighty hand over your money, and you're trying to stretch it, but when you treat him right, God may stretch out his hand and say, not only will I give you enough money to pay your phone bill, your electric bill, but you may have enough money to pay your water bill too, simply because you treated God right. He gave you extra money because he felt as though you really honored him. You can't dishonor God and think that it's going to work for you. No. Let me give it to you in the natural. In the natural, just like you have blessings in the spiritual, you have to be careful how you treat God, and yet you have to be careful how you treat that husband or how you treat that wife. That man has been standing in the gap for you. And that wife has been standing in the gap for you. That woman who has been standing there trying to hold you up, that man been standing there trying to hold you up. You can't take them for granted. You can't do that. See, anything good comes from God. See, if a person knows to be right and to do right and to hold you up, you can't take them for granted because that came from God. The goodness in them came from God. Make everything else a priority before them and think that they're going to be happy with that. They're not going to be no happy camper. See, that's backwards mentality. And just like you treat everything else right, you got to be careful how you treat the Lord. The Lord is the one who's been through the storm, let you help you. He took on your battles. He's fought your battles for you. When you were down, he picked you up. When you were out, he brought you in. When you needed some money, he made a way out of no way. When you needed food on your table, he provided the food. He put the clothing on your back. He's been helping all along. And you're going to treat him like he's second grade, like he gets the leftovers? Uh-uh. He's not going to take it. God, and then you're going to honor other folks, Boost Mobile and everybody else and the electric company, and then put him last? God is a jealous God. In the same way of that man or that woman, you can't treat them like that because they got every good thing comes from God. And that same spirit that they got to try to help and to try to be there comes from God. You got to be careful how you put your hand on God. The ark represented God himself. It was like Moses and the Mount Sinai. Remember, they went up on the mountain, and God told them, don't come close to the mountain, because if they come to the close to the mountain, they're going to die. Why? It represented God. He didn't want them to die. It represented God himself. So Arthur put his hand on something that represented God, and boom, he was gone. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, we got to be careful how we treat God. Make him more important than anything in your life, and you'll see him move for you. That's why every night on the blog line, I wish you'd call it and be on there with us, we thank God 1,000 times. Why? Because he's more important than anything in the whole wide world, and he deserves the praise. Hallelujah. See, after Uzzah died, then David said, I got to learn how to treat God right. Then he went and got the Ark of the Covenant from Obed-Edom's house, and he brought it back. He got to Jerusalem. Oh, my God. And God blessed him to get it back. But he took six steps, and he danced. Said, I want to treat God right. I'm going to praise him when I'm down. I'm going to praise him when I'm up. I'm going to treat him like he is more important than anything in the whole wide world. Thank you, Jesus. My. I feel the Holy Ghost moving. He got it back, the Ark of the Covenant, back to Jerusalem. So not only did I learn from this text to learn to rejoice while you're going through, but I learned to be careful how you handle or how you treat God. Third thing I want to tell you, if you apply this to your life, it will help you. Here's the third thing. Go a little ways and then make a sacrifice. See, that's the problem right now. You trying to go a long ways and then make a sacrifice. What am I talking about? A sacrifice of praise. You trying to walk 15 steps and then dance. But my lesson here today says take six steps, which is a little ways, and dance. What are you trying to tell me? Put it on my plate. May I put it on your plate? Don't go too long without praying to God. See, that's a sacrifice. A sacrifice of praise is prayer, too. Yeah, see, David didn't go too far without sacrificing the oxen or fatling. And in this society, God's trying to tell us, don't forget me, because if you go too far, you may forget me. Go a little ways. Yeah. Always pray. Don't go too far without praying, without talking to me. Because in all thy ways acknowledge me, and I shall direct your path. God is saying that to you. Don't go a long ways and lead me out. No. You can't do that. Go a little ways. and make a sacrifice unto me. Yeah, yeah. Praying to me after you spent 15 to 20 days, you ain't talked to me. See, praying is talking to God. That's part of your sacrifice. According to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. In other words, pray diurnally. Diurnally means doing it all the time. In other words, make it a daily routine. Sacrifice some time to God. You make time for everything else, your family, your job, your friends, your homies, your girlfriends, your boyfriends, whoever it is, you make time. Your kinfolks, your husband, your wife, you got time. Why don't you make a sacrifice to God? Don't make it a long time. Go a little ways. And then make a sacrifice. Give him a sacrifice of praise. See, some of us have your priorities mixed up. Some of you have your priorities mixed up. You have it family first and God second. No. You wouldn't be alive if it had been that way at first. You have to know that God did it first. How you get your family? God made you first, and then he put your family. But you got your family before God. That's why, perhaps, why he's not blessing you. Your family could not be without God if God wasn't there first. See, in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Perhaps that's the reason why the things are not being added, is because you've got your priorities all mixed up. You're putting your family before God and then asking God to bless your family. God cannot go against his word. God wants to bless your family, but when you make them more important than God, then to God, your family becomes an idol. Anything more important than God is an idol. You don't put your family above God. If you do, then you make God angry. He's a jealous God. God won't bless an idol. So make God first in your life. Then put your family first, or second rather. You understand what I'm trying to say. Listen, you go a little ways and then you make a sacrifice. When is the last time you fasted? That's a little ways. When's the last time? See, that's the problem. You've been going a long ways and then trying to come to God with a little sacrifice. No. A fasting, when you say, God, you're more important than any food to me. I'm going to turn my plate down. Perhaps you haven't fasted before, but you might go to 12 o'clock. You wake up and say, I'm not going to eat to 12 o'clock. I'm going to consecrate. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to turn my plate down up to 12 o'clock today and fast. Or if you used to fasting, go to 3 o'clock. Or if you used to fasting, go all night and all day, maybe 3 days and three nights without any food, and just tell God he's more important than your food. See, you've been going a long ways. When's the last time you did that? Have you ever done it? See, that's the problem. You're going a long ways, and then you're trying to make a sacrifice. Go a little ways and make the sacrifice. In other words, why don't you do it this week, maybe a little ways, do it next week. Then after that, do it the next week. Take out a day where you say, Lord, I'm going to turn the plate down. I'm going to sacrifice. Now, don't go a long way. See, that will cause you to backslide. That's why people backsliding, because they're going a long ways and trying to sacrifice. No. Go a little ways. Amen. Don't get too far from the sacrifice unto God. Don't get too far from your praising the Lord, because it will bless you if you will.